This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, it is tournament time. Dukes and Bell guys live at Hooters. Cumberland right here on Cobb Parkway. Carl is in Vegas because that's where you want to be if you're not at Hooters. Getting his bets in, all the action with his crew, his annual trip. So our man, Chris Turtle Thomas, filling in for Carl. We start every hour of every Shay with a big gold,
hey, man.
And what a fun Shay and show it will be today. Chris has already got, what do you got? This is the worst thing that can ever happen to a radio host. You got your buffalo chicken sandwich and the tots, and we just started the program. Rookie mistake. Got to get here at least a half hour before the show. And now Chris has to watch his food get cold as we bloviate. Now, again, I don't think the listeners are going to fault you if you start just chowing down.
Well, I know that's what everybody wants to hear.
If you're like, I think that Georgia can. But, yeah, man, we're live at Hooters. Going to be a lot of fun today. Hope you can make the party. Our man Bruce, the big hot show, the big cheese, the numero uno dude, the man that facilitates our Hooters broadcast just walked in. Very important to say hi. Hey, man, before we get to the daily download, because we got a big hour for you. We talked to Clark Kellogg yesterday, if you missed it. We only got about another hour and a half while the conversation is viable before Georgia starts, but we always love hearing Clark because he's obviously knows his stuff and he's so good on CBS and TBS. So you hear that conversation coming up next segment. And then Armando Salguero is going to join us from Outkick, senior NFL correspondent. Always gives us a great breakdown of what's going around the NFL, the rumors about what the heck's going on in the first round, and, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs. But before we get to the daily download, you big dummy. I mean, Georgia players, I know if you're new or you got to know the history. The last 3-4 years ain't great. And look, I'm a super speeder. I get a lot of speeding tickets. I'm not going to get on my high horse about this, but then again, I'm not on scholarship, okay? I have a good lawyer and I can pay for tickets, although I should be doing better, making better decisions behind the wheel. Nitro, what the hell? Talk about what happened today in Athens.
Yeah, Nitro, he gone. He is indefinitely suspended after being arrested.
A wide receiver, Nitro Tuggle.
Yeah, Nitro Tuggle.
And we've had enough issues with wide receivers the last 2 years as it is.
Yeah, and it's a shame too, Mike. Such a good name. Such a good name.
Well, I mean, it's not like he's going to be suspended and then maybe kicked off the team, but it will have to be adjudicated. Kirby gets how bad the optics are, but as you said, and offensive lineman Marquise Easley, according to the press release from UGA.
Yeah, it's basically a situation now, Mike, where there needs to be a zero-tolerance policy. Because of the sheer amount, as you alluded to, of incidents that have occurred over the last couple of years. So basically at this point, if you were of a certain talent level before, it got you some leeway. That's not the case anymore. Doesn't matter if you're a 5-star or 1-star. If you're going to come into Georgia's campus and you're going to do this kind of stuff, Kirby is not going to tolerate it anymore. And he was released at 3 o'clock in the morning on a $26 bond. That obviously didn't get him
$26?
Yeah.
That was a $260. Wait, usually it's 10%.
Yeah.
It's a $260.
Released on a $26 bond.
Not $2,600.
No.
Not $260.
$26 bond at 2:55 a.m. He's a sophomore from Goshen, Indiana, appeared in 8 games last season, caught 3 passes for 34 yards, but was expected to contribute more now. We'll see when he plays.
Guys, as we said, you've just got to make better decisions. And we all know, look, I mean, If you're not familiar, I mean, most folks are. It happened back in 21 after the national championship. Devin Willick was an offensive lineman, young man, lost his life along with Chandler LaCroix, a staff member from UGA Athletic Department. And again, we know that when you're young and you're, whether you're 18, 19, 20, it doesn't matter, guys. You don't have to have a Hellcat or you don't have to have a Lamborghini. You could kill yourself in a beater of a car.
Yep.
Because when you're young, you make bad decisions behind the wheel. Most of us did. If you didn't, mazel tov to you. But a lot of people, you know, as you're learning your way in the world, you make really dumb decisions. But when you have the history of dumb decisions at Georgia football, there should be a message which has to resonate with these players, whether you've been here a year, 2 years, a transfer portal guy, whatever.
It needs to be accountability and leadership at the top, which was the one bugaboo, Mike, that we were a little worried that Kirby and the program might be a little soft on. Now, by force, they don't have a choice anymore.
Right.
They have to lay the hammer down anytime something like this happens.
As we said, I mean, zero tolerance policy. And I could hear Georgia fans right now going, I know, but yeah, with the portal, we don't have the depth. Sorry. It is what it is.
Doesn't
I mean, it's just the optics on this are brutal. This hour of Dukes and Bell, guys, is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. That's P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. PadleyBuys.com. There's the big story of the day. Let's continue with our daily download.
Story number one.
All right, man. The country has spoken. They don't know anything about Georgia basketball. The country knows Gonzaga. They're a brand, and obviously Mark Few's record in the tournament is pretty impressive, other than not winning the big one. But he certainly gets out of the first round. And that's why Georgia is a 6.5-point dog. Over-under is 150.5. They are one of the highest-scoring teams in college basketball.
Yeah, basically this is just a mismatch, Mike. I think when it comes down to it, you'll hear what Clark Kellogg has to say about it coming up in just a couple of minutes. To me, this is a Jimmy and Joe issue, not an X and O issue, although Few is obviously the better coach here. Mm. You have your two guys in Asa Newell and Silas Emery Jr. They're really good players. They're good players in the SEC, but they're not at the level of the program that's been built at Gonzaga for the last decade plus under Few.
They've got guys in the post. This is where, I mean, honestly, and you touched about it, Blue Kane's got, I mean, these guys, there's no margin for error. You cannot, and I heard Andy and Randy talk about this today, and I was running around running some errands, and it's a great point. Steak brought it up as well on the Steakhouse. Georgia can't have one of those 4.5, 5, 6 minute patches where they don't score. They'll be cooked. Done. We saw it happen to Louisville today. Louisville, I don't know, say it properly, pronounce it properly. Creighton and Louisville. And Louisville got the margin down to 3 points, and then boom, boom, boom. Creighton bombs some threes, and then Louisville went to a scoring drought. They're trying to rally. But, yes, you need Silas Demery. You talked about it. You need everybody to just kind of all hands on deck. That goes without saying. But this is where Asa Newell needs to go show you are a lottery pick, because he's not. ESPN has him, like, outside the top 15. This is where Asa Newell needs to – you really need – and let's be honest, draft picks sometimes and resumes are built right now.
Yeah.
Even though you have, I know you have a career at Georgia, but this is where he can really elevate his game and get some people to notice.
If you're wondering where Georgia's been offensively recently, let's go back to the Missouri game a couple of weeks ago. 74, 70, 88, 83, 73, 79. So they're not a team that lacks for offense, but I think when it comes to this mismatch, Mike, I'm just not sure close game late. You got to give the edge to Gonzaga.
Well, that's just it. This is why I was banging on Mike White this year. I mean, they've blown leads. Look, I get it. It's a tough conference, but you've also got some pretty good recruits yourself. But you've not shown the ability to be clutch. And then you made that nice run. You beat Florida. You have beat St. John's, as they were learning their way earlier this year. You beat Kentucky. But you're going to need to be letter perfect. You really are, if you're Georgia. Story number two, what are the Falcons doing?
Story number two.
All right, man, we're waiting, and after yesterday's story from Josina Anderson that Falcons, they may be talking, and after the story dropped yesterday that it's a third-round pick, then apparently, according to more sources today in the media, Falcons are contacting teams saying it's going to be more than a third-round pick.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a...
So what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
Do you blame the Falcons for this circus or not?
No, not this particular...
It's just a reporter maybe perhaps didn't get the story correct.
So this is a reporter, like a source-off, basically, with Josina Anderson saying that the Falcons have received multiple calls about interest and that it could be as high as a third-round pick. And then Jordan Schultz, the clown that got into a fight with... Ian Rappaport a couple of weeks ago, basically saying that, no, it's actually the Falcons that are calling people
right.
and seeing what the value would be. So you have to decide who you believe here, basically.
Right. Now, look, I get it. If we could get a third round for Cousins, and I think at this point, just I don't care what it takes. What's the threshold? What's the pain threshold for the Falcons? You're willing to spend half of it, $15 million? To get him off the books, like I'll leave 15, you guys take 12, and give us a fourth round pick. But the idea that Josina Anderson perhaps maybe underscored what the Falcons are looking for, I just don't think you get a second. Matt Ryan went for a third. We're seeing star players going for less than that in trades this year. No first rounder's been traded prior to this draft.
No, for the first time in a long time. Yeah.
Right. So I think third is, I thought the most Falcon fans said third sounds about right. So I don't know if the Falcons said, oh, no. Either way, It just never looks good when the Falcons – yeah, story drops. It's like now the Falcons are contacting teams saying, no, it's more than
– No. No. Oh, by the way, Mike, we have a little bit of breaking news here.
All right. Then let's make this story number three.
Story number three.
Three.
Story number three.
Is breaking news.
Yes. According to John Heyman, the Braves have a new outfielder. They have agreed to terms with veteran Alex Verdugo on a $1.5 million deal, so you get him on the cheap. Played last season for the defending AL champion New York Yankees. They decided not to bring him back.
How'd he do? You're a Yankee fan.
He was very good in the outfield, started off the year hot with the bat, and then faded.
Okay.
So not exactly somebody that's going to come in and you expect to be a replacement directly for Ronald till he comes back, but
right.
he's definitely a good glove that can help in spot starts.
Big story yesterday was Schwellenbach looked amazing. If
yes.
you didn't see it, between the Strider and Schwellenbach starts, I mean, it's about, what, 16 strikeouts between the two of them?
Yeah.
Giddy up.
He had 10.
So we'll talk more about Schwellenbach coming up when we give you the Braves report later in the 5 o'clock hour. But, all right, so Alex Verdugo joins Kelnick, Jurickson Profar, and Money Harris, eventually Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
Not hearing as much, now I'm not saying positivity, as far as Strider came in, everybody's blown doors, it's, wow, he looks like he's ready to go. Haven't heard as much about Acuna's timeline.
No, you're right, and I think that has to do with, Mike, this is number two.
Yeah.
This is the second big right. injury for Acuna, so I think that they're going to wait until they think that he's 110% before they bring him back, and I think if you put the bat in his hands now, he can go out and play today. That's what it seems like, based on everything that we've heard so far and seen. But if I'm the Braves, I don't blame them, and that's why you make a move like this today, just to have another guy that can go out there, try to give you some quality at-bats, and help the outfield rotation until Ronnie's 100%.
There is your daily download here on Dukes and Bell. Let you know what's going on. Brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We're going to talk to a guy that we love every year, catching up with Clark Kellogg, and get his take on Georgia and the physicality in the low post and the scoring. Also, all the other brackets. As we mentioned, there's been a game which is pretty much decided already. Creighton all over Louisville. Purdue is only up by 10 over High Point. Wisconsin up by 10 right now. We'll give you more updates throughout the day, but the big one for most folks listening, Auburn coming up, Georgia as well. Clark Kellogg next, live from Hooters, Cumberland, where all the hot ladies are here, including like this one who just rolled in. Hello. She was a former calendar girl. I don't want to put her business on the street, but anyway, she's semi-retired now. Does that sound right? Anyway, we're hanging out at Hooters at Cumberland, guys. Be here till 7. Come on, get some wings. We had the Daytonas. We had some, obviously, some lemon pepper shrimp. Ah, my belly is happy. Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. I always say this every time we speak to Clark. It's almost like you've taken the valedictorian from your high school class and thrown him into a sports debate with the kids from detention when they put CBS and TBS together. Clark Kellogg joins us, the lead college basketball analyst for CBS. When you'll come up with a great point, and then Charles will go, yeah, but they're terrible. You know, I mean, it's just Clark joins us right now. And by the way, Clemson fans, we'll get to Clark's picks here in a minute. You're gonna love this. First thing, Clark, you giving Georgia a puncher's chance against Gonzaga?
I am. Clearly, they've got a better than puncher's chance. I mean, they've had some big-time wins. That team has grown under Mike White. They've got really outstanding talent. They're a little young, but they're talented. And they've played, obviously, in the toughest conference in the country, historically the toughest conference in the country when you look at the way the SEC performed in the pre-conference schedule and throughout the regular season, and now representation of 14 teams in the tournament. So, yeah, clearly they've got a puncher's chance. I kind of like Gonzaga in this underdog role. I mean, they've not often been in this spot where they've been in an 8-9 game over the last decade plus. I think they've made 9 straight Sweet 16s, and this team has some grit. It's got one of the best point guards in the country. I'm looking forward to the matchup. I mean, 8-9s are typically intriguing matchups, but this one, particularly because of how Georgia has performed and how Gonzaga has been a little more under the radar this season, makes this one a compelling 8-9 game.
Did Auburn's weeble wobble a little bit down the stretch change your opinion of them at all as a number one seed?
No, it didn't. I mean, clearly they earned the right to be the overall number one seed, had a phenomenal season. I mean, you hit pockets of turbulence during any long season. The really good teams do. Every team does. It's a matter of how you respond through that and out of it. And you always can restart when you're starting a conference tournament, you're starting the NCAA tournament. The most important thing is how are you going to perform currently. So I'm not really that dismayed by the stumble. I mean, they lost to really good teams in tough environments, so they still are a team that very well could be in San Antonio. I do think that Florida and Duke are the most complete of the one seeds, and I think Florida, with its versatile big guys who play both ends of the floor with the guard threesome they have, and actually Aberdeen coming off the bench gives them a quartet of really good size and skill, two-way skill in the backcourt. I think Florida may be the most potent and complete team if I were ranking them right now. Duke would be next. Then I would go probably Auburn, then Houston if I was ranking the four number one seeds.
Clark Kellogg with us. And in that Western region, do you see St. John's getting to that Elite Eight? Because I've been following Rick Pitino on the TV show this week, this year on Vice. They seem to be really physical, but they also struggle with their jump shooting. So do you see St. John's getting there?
No, that's accurate. I mean, if you've observed them at all, you love the resilience, you love the tenacity, you love the physicality, what they're able to do defensively, and how they've been able to come back and win games when they really haven't shot it well. They've only had maybe a handful of games, maybe a few more, where you could see them actually be efficient and proficient on offense, but defensively is where they turn your water off and make those comebacks. And that's a great attribute to have as a team. And I think they are a better shooting team than they've shown. And, you know, it's about what are you doing now, not what you've done in the past. So we'll see. But that is an Achilles heel. But they've been able to overcome it, and I think they're going to shoot it better in the tournament. I'd be surprised if they don't shoot it a little better in the tournament. And I do see them matching up with Florida in that Elite Eight in that region.
Clark, you mentioned Houston a moment ago. I want to follow up on that. We all know about the defense, but as you get deeper into the tournament, you need to score too. Can they keep
that's
up offensively?
Well, that's a question mark for them in Tennessee. That's tended to be where things fall down for those teams. Remarkable work during the regular season. And you're right, as you move forward in the bracket, especially as it plays out according to form, you're going to have to play teams that are high level at both ends of the floor, and you've got to be able to score. You can't survive in a 6-game run to a championship without having at least a couple of games where you're good offensively. You might be able to get by with one or two, but I just can't envision, particularly with the landscape as it is now, being able to win a championship solely on your defensive prowess.
You recognize the pipes. It's Clark Kellogg with us, guys, on Dukes of Bell, getting ready for the tournament. And I saw, and I love the fact you made a bold prediction. You love Clemson, and you've got them taking on Florida. Why do you like the Tigers?
I just love the way Brad Brownell has built that team. And, you know, you've got a few of those guys that were on the doorstep of the Final Four last year. I think that experience is valuable when you return players who have tasted that. They've had a really good season this year. The ACC hasn't been as strong as a conference, but they played out of conference some tough opponents and fared well. Their style of play is suited to tournament action, I think. They're physical. They're efficient on offense. They play a pretty smart, disciplined brand of basketball, and they've got guys that can go get it when you need it. I mean, Hunter Chase is really good. I think Schefflin has really improved. I just like their makeup. I like their mental, psychological, physical makeup. And in the tournament, that can serve you well when you add the experience. And I think Brad Brownell is really one of the more underrated, outstanding coaches in the game as well.
Kentucky finds themselves in a usual position as a high seed, but 22-11 under Coach Pope. Do you believe in what he's done early on in his tenure? Can they make some noise, or is this more?
I do believe, but they've been, you know, I do believe and have been really impressed with Mark's first year at Kentucky. I think it's a good fit. He obviously knows the place, being an alum. He's developed as a coach at different places before stepping into that very unique coaching seat in Kentucky. Injuries have been a bit of an issue for them. I mean, Lamont Butler has been great when he's been healthy, still working through that shoulder injury. Jackson Robinson, who's an outstanding player. I think he's a NBA prospect in terms of his future, and, you know, he's been shut down. So that really hurts. Otega Owe has been outstanding on the wing. Kobe Bray is a phenomenal laser shooter. But they have some flaws that make them vulnerable, and part of it is due to their personnel not being fully healthy.
It is Clark Kellogg with us, guys. Top 10 pick coming out of Ohio State. I mean, you played against Bobby Knight. I couldn't even imagine Coach Knight in this era, you know, with yeah, NIL on the portal. Do you ever see the toothpaste going back in the tube, or is this where we're just going to be living?
No, we're going to be living here. I mean, we're going to have to continue just to navigate it and pivot and get guardrails around it. But it's here to stay, and it's for good reason by and large. I mean, it's long overdue. Should have happened a while ago. Anytime there's major change and disruption, it's uncomfortable and a little wild and chaotic, but I think we're moving in the right direction. It's just going to take a little while. It certainly has allowed teams across the country. I think we've probably got more really good teams in college basketball because of NIL, the transfer portal, and the COVID additional year. I just think there are more really good teams seeded outside of the top four seed lines, which should make for extremely competitive and compelling basketball between the lines.
You know, not to put words in your mouth, but there's some coaches that are just tremendous recruiters, but sometimes they just struggle with the X's and O's. You know, you think about, I'll name some names, Calipari comes to mind, sometimes Bruce Pearl. I mean, is this where you lean on your assistants, or are you just, because some of these teams have got guys their average age is like 24 right now in some of these teams.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you talk about the makeup of a staff and what coaches are really good at and which ones do great jobs. There's so many ways to evaluate coaches, and you kind of simplified it, X's and O's recruiting, but the staff is critically important. I just don't think we can underestimate the value of the right staff, the right fit, philosophically, experience-wise. And I think the coaches you mentioned have done, I mean, Calipari is remarkable to me in what he was able to do at Kentucky. I think he may have been the only coach that could have done what he did at Kentucky. I know some folks talk about them falling short of national championships based on the place where those guys were drafted, but it's a really difficult thing to have that kind of talent and then to get it to play hard and together, which he did consistently. You know, winning the tournament isn't just about talent. It's a bit of a crucible, but I don't know of many coaches that would have been able to do the job that he did, turning his roster over as much as he did in the early portions of the one and done era. I think Bruce Pearl, I mean, he's been a winner everywhere he's been at every level of coaching, and I think it's one of the remarkable jobs that he's done at Auburn. I think he's a fantastic coach and has done a great job, and he's certainly going to be on the list for Coach of the Year awards this year, deservedly so. So it's a matter of how you evaluate it, but there are a lot of guys out there doing great work in a tough spot.
Do you foresee the run that the SEC went on this season being sustainable, or was this an anomaly?
I think it's sustainable. I mean, when you have really good coaches and you get good players, I think that can continue to build on itself. What it means in the tournament is something different than what it looks like during the regular season. But clearly, I think it's sustainable as a conference. I mean, the resources are there. The schools have a lot of appeal to them, both academically and location-wise and athletically. I don't foresee the SEC going away. I think they're going to be top shelf as a league for the foreseeable future when it comes to all sports, but certainly basketball is what we're thinking about now. But, yeah, I think it's sustainable, no doubt.
And, of course, last night we saw some great moments. Alabama State coming out of Montgomery. Yeah, that was great to see. And then, like, I guess we should have seen this coming, is that, yeah, North Carolina heard all the rumbling, Clark, and they made a statement. But can they do anything moving forward, though?
I think they can. I mean, this is a dangerous team. They're believing. They're getting better. I was not of the opinion that they deserve to be in, but I always trust the committee. At the end of the day, I know the work and the care they put into the work and how hard it is to evaluate teams. And there is a subjectivity to selecting the teams, particularly when you get down to the last several and all are flawed, all have warts, and you're trying to determine which one or two or three are the best and most deserving to be in the field. That's major difficult work. So I always defer ultimately. I can disagree with the committee, and I did as it related to North Carolina, but I also can respect where they land. And then at the end of the day, it becomes a matter of how you perform, because that's what Carolina can control. That's what the players can control. And that, to me, is what's the beauty of sports. All of the noise is the noise, the commentary, the debate, the disagreement, the consensus. But when it gets between that 94-by-50-foot box, your seed number doesn't mean anything. Color your uniform doesn't mean anything. Can you hoop, and do you hoop well enough to beat your opponent? And that's what it comes down to.
Stuff right there, man, from Clark Kellogg. Wanted you guys to hear that before we obviously get to the Georgia game coming up about 4:30 against Gonzaga. We just explained why Gonzaga is such a big favorite in this one. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, Buys Homes, PadleyBuysHomes.com. We're live at Hooters Cumberland. Chris is in for Carl today. Guys, if you want to see college basketball at State Farm Arena next weekend, capiche, we got a registration for that. We're going to be giving those away, so come get signed up. We've got tons of great Hooters swag to give up away. You're going to love it. Coming up next, though, we'll get to some NFL. Our man Armando Salguero. The Dolphins spent all their money on offense, and now the Bengals are doing the same. Does it work? He'll join us next. Yeah, man, we've got some tickets. It's not the Sweet 15 or the Sweet 17. So it's always funny, you got to kind of navigate the the legalese of who's got the official rights. Anyway, we got tickets to go to State Farm next weekend. Capiche? We're live here at Hooters Cumberland location right off of Cobb Parkway. Be here till 7 o'clock. Plenty more to dive into. Give you live updates in Georgia, of course, coming up at 4:30. Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris is in for Carl today. One of our favorite guests, Armando Salguero, who has the pulse of South Florida and the rest of the NFL. Armando, how you been, man?
Man, you roll those R's like a professional.
that's right, my friend. Hey, man, we've been, and I, as a former Dolphins season ticket holder, I feel qualified to speak on this. I don't like their business model with all the money and the wide receivers, and then Cincinnati basically does the same thing. Can you have success in the NFL with that business model?
So the Bengals, for example, they had 7 games last year where they scored 32 points or more. So that's good. That's really good, right? They had a nearly 5,000-yard passer. That passer threw 43 touchdown passes, Joe Burrow. And in those games where they scored a bunch of points and they threw for a bunch of yards and their wide receivers went off like the Dickens, they were 3-4. So it tells you that they are certainly going to be productive on offense. They certainly are going to be exciting. But are they certainly going to turn that into championships? They haven't. They just haven't. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles showed that you got to have a complete team to win a Super Bowl. And the Cincinnati Bengals don't have a defense.
All right, Armando, we have the daily Kirk Cousins drama here in Atlanta. Do you foresee any team getting desperate enough to actually make a trade for him?
Absolutely. The problem is, are the Falcons, you know, it takes to the tango. And I raise my hand and I admit that when the Falcons at the combine made the point that we're good with Kirk Cousins as our backup. Mm. I kind of like, yeah, right, sure. That makes a lot of sense. $27.5 million base salary as a backup. I don't believe you. And then they're doing it. It looks like they're doing it. They've been basically the $10 million guarantee. It's on for 2026 for injury. So they are, if they're bluffing, God bless them. They belong on a riverboat somewhere because they're good. They should go to Vegas. And because they've got people convinced that they might actually do this thing with Kirk Cousins as the backup.
It's Armando Salguero with us, guys, from Outkick. You'll hear him on Fox News, senior NFL writer at Armando Salguero, by the way, for social media. And no, he did not steal Carson Beck's Lamborghini. All right, man, speaking of quarterbacks, what about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? And where are they going? And we heard a lot of, out of his misinformation or usual pre-draft nonsense, but do you think both those guys are off the board in the first five picks?
I think that Cam Ward is definitely off the board in the first pick, period. Huh. That's it. He's going to be the first pick overall. If not to the Tennessee Titans, it will be the Tennessee Titans. But if not to the Tennessee Titans, then they're going to sell the pick to the highest bidder. And why do we know this? Because the guys that come behind great, great prospects, Travis Hunter, a Heisman Trophy winner, Abdul Carter, a great edge rusher, you don't go in that direction unless the great edge rusher's name is Reggie White. Yeah. You don't go with Travis Hunter unless you're drafting frickin' Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders combined. And with all respect to those two guys, they're not. And there's a lot of quarterback needy teams that come right behind, like the Giants, maybe even Cleveland, who might be willing to move up a spot or two and give up some draft resources. And then the Titans could still get whoever it is they want that's not a quarterback. But I got to tell you, their situation with Will Levis, they're going to pick the quarterback.
Right.
Who do you think has a better chance to help a team this year, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
You know, the narrative with Aaron Rodgers is he sucks. And because the Jets suck, because they were terrible, because he's got this ego, because of the Aaron Rodgers experience. And then you turn on the tape, and suddenly, oh, he doesn't suck. He was coming back from an Achilles injury last year, and I believe he threw 28 touchdown passes. Mm. Are you aware that Patrick Mahomes threw 20? You look at how he played, he was pretty darn good. Now, obviously, the team around him and in parts and at times he were not good enough, and it was bad, but the whole narrative is the Jets were terrible, and so Aaron Rodgers was terrible, and Devontae Adams was terrible. Devontae Adams was not terrible. Devontae Adams had 7 touchdown catches with the Jets in 11 games last year for 800 yards. For the 17-game season, he had over 1,000 yards. So something was going right, and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams were part of that.
It is our man Armando Salguero, guys, catching up with him pre-draft. We got about 5 weeks now before we get to the draft. We in Atlanta, we need defense. We like what we've got with Michael Penix Jr. Again, it was a long, strange trip, Armando, between the Kirk Cousins thing, which I thought was the dumbest thing in the whole wide world, just one or the other. You know, just trust your scouting, go with the young rookie quarterback. You see Jaden Daniels taking a step backwards, or do you believe the Commanders are going to just continue to build? Love the moves they've made in the offseason.
Right. So the Commanders, you look at those moves, and if you ask them that question, their answer is, oh, no, he's not stepping back for nothing. A second-year rookie quarterback typically improves. He doesn't go in the other direction. And so that's what they're expecting. That's why they've added weapons for him. That's why they've gotten him Deebo Samuel. That's why, you know, they are hoping. When you go to the NFC Championship game, and I realize they got blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles, but when you're there after only 1 year of building, it's not even a rebuild, it's a build. They've done a lot of things right, and they believe that they're going to continue to do a lot of things right.
Speaking of teams and quarterbacks with things to prove, the Colts are in a very interesting situation with Anthony Richardson bringing in Daniel Jones to compete for the starting job. You think this guy has a shot to make it in the NFL?
You know, Anthony Richardson's from Miami. So I'm very familiar with Anthony Richardson. I love him as a person. But Anthony Richardson's never been an accurate passer on any level. Not in high school, not in college, and not obviously with the Colts. And that's troubling, and that's a rough look. And Daniel Jones is not a great NFL quarterback. You can argue he's not a good NFL quarterback, but he's a 60-plus percent passer, even in his roughest time. Whereas Anthony Richardson last year was a 47.9% completion percentage. There's a reason why the Colts are going, we don't know about this. And it's only been 2 years. They're basically, they're checking out on the guy after 2 years. So it's a rough look for Anthony Richardson. I love him, but struggles.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you could look, and I made the argument he needed to stay another year with Billy Napier at Florida. I think Jalen Milroe needed to stay another year, maybe transfer to a program where they can really fine-tune his passing. But then he runs a 4.37, so it sounds to me like somebody's going to take a flyer. Maybe you think Jalen Milroe goes in the first round, Armando?
No. No chance. If he does, something wrong, something amiss, something like someone lost their mind. Right. Look, Jalen Milroe is a great, amazing, incredible athlete, right? He did. He ran, what was it, a 4.37 last?
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday. Tom Brady ran a 5.28. Who cares if the quarterback is super fast or not? That doesn't mean he's going to be good. You got to be good to play quarterback. You don't have to be fast to play quarterback. You have to process. You have to know the defense. You have to know your offense. You have to have instinct. You have to have a little anticipation even. You can move around, yes, and that's great. If you move around in the pocket, that's good enough. Now, if you're I haven't seen the last time a quarterback needed to outrun a defensive back on third and 12. I don't see that very often.
A team you're very familiar with, the Buffalo Bills, out there in the AFC East. Have they done enough so far this offseason? Will this finally be the year they could beat the Chiefs?
So, yeah, the Bills did some stuff they didn't have to do in the offseason. They paid Josh Allen again, and he still had several years. I think it was like 3 years or 4 years left on his contract, and they gave him a raise. And obviously, it helped them cap-wise, but it rewarded him for being the MVP. But honestly, that was a feel-good moment that doesn't help get you past the Kansas City Chiefs and into the Super Bowl. They went out and they added Joey Bosa as a pass rusher after they cut Von Miller. That's the Joey Bosa addition is their signature offseason move, I would say. And Joey Bosa, another South Florida guy. And once upon a time, Joey Bosa was a machine. He was amazing. But right. Joey Bosa has run into the injury, thing where every year for the last 3 years or so, he's been struggling with injuries. And you never see the real Joey Bosa on the field, even when he's on the field. So the Bills are hedging their bet and hoping that they see healthy Joey Bosa. If that's who shows up, they're going to be really good. And they're going to finally have that closer that they've been looking for late in games. After Josh Allen gives them a lead, they can maybe hold it. But if it's injury-prone Joey Bosa, it's the same thing as what they had with Von Miller.
Right. Hey, guys, coming up, we'll get your March Madness scoreboard update right now. We're talking with our man Armando Salguero down in South Florida about the NFL. We covered the Falcons. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, see what Armando had to say about Kirk Cousins. All right, Mike McDaniel, I call him Coach Bruh. Is he ever going to win a playoff game down there?
You know, the Dolphins have a culture thing going on where, unfortunately for them, they feel country clubbish. They feel like, here's the thing. Here's the problem with the Dolphins. So they started out terrible last year, and then they beat up on a bunch of pansies, and Mike McDaniel is in the locker room with a speech. Nobody thought you could do this. Nobody thought this could happen. Well, dude, no, you just beat a team with 3 wins, and it's week 10. So, yeah, everybody thought you could do it. What you really have to do is go and beat a winning team. And in the last couple of years, I think they're like 1-11 against teams with that are playoff bound.
Right.
Yeah, or winning records. And so there's something to be said about knowing who you are. They are not a tough team. Tyreek Hill is their best player, right?
Right.
Arguably. He
right.
quit. He quit in the season finale against the Jets. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. Why? He didn't want to. And then what did he do? He said he wanted to go somewhere else. Now they've right. made up and all is well, except that those words are out there. I cannot unhear them. He said them. So what did he say? In times of adversity, I'm quitting. That's what I heard.
Thank you. I just wanted you. I loaded the question up, but yeah, what Armando said. Hey, brother, we will hopefully catch up with you maybe right after the draft, see what happens, man. But thanks so much for the time today.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
You got him. And follow him on Twitter, Armando Salguero. Always has strong opinions. Always love catching up with him. And that's what I've been saying this for months. That team is soft as Charmin, man. Don't believe it.
Well, fish rots from the head, Mike.
That what he said, too. Hey, man, we're live at the Hooters. Cumberland, guys. Yeah, man, we got Georgia Hoops taking on Gonzaga. We'll continue to preview that. Georgia's got some bad news involving the football team. We'll explain what that's all about next. Come on down, join the party. 2-7, Hooters, Cumberland, Dukes and Bell.